chapter 5, and we'll look at verses 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. May God richly bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. I think 2 weeks ago in our evening service, I discovered the title for that Sunday morning sermon, which was, I believe, the Spirit-filled life. Yeah, that's what it was, the Spirit-filled life. So that was 2 weeks ago, our Sunday morning service from Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21. And so this morning then would be the Spirit-filled life part two. That's helpful. Now, for the sake of clarity and continuity in bringing all of this together, I want to frame our text in six things that we've already covered that provide the light by which we are to understand what Paul is commanding or admonishing in this passage. So I'll mention the points as well as the passages that sort of pave the way for and how we are to interpret this text, and then we will move into the body of the message. But first of all, this charge or this command that's given here should be understood in the light of walking worthy of our calling, which is in chapter 4, verse 1. That's what begins this whole discussion on Christian walk, that what Paul is unpacking for us is what he means by that phrase, walking worthy. So understand this charge and this command in light of walking worthy. Secondly, this charge is to not walk, or should be understood in the light of not walking like the rest of the Gentiles walk. Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul admonishes them that don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk, who walk according to their darkened understanding of things. Thirdly, this charge should be understood in light of putting off the old man and putting on the new. Chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Again, Paul is challenging them to put off the old man, that they would be strengthened in the inner man, and that they would put off the old man and put on the new. Well, this charge, as well as everything else that he has commanded in this regard, as it relates to our discourse with one another, should be understood in light of putting off the old man and putting on the new. Fourthly, this charge should be understood in light of Paul's command to walk as children of light. In chapter 5, verse 8. Because, again, what's commanded here is nothing less than walking as children of light. And fifthly, this charge should be understood in the light of walking in wisdom. Chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Paul admonishes Christians to redeem the time, make good use of the time, know what the will of the Lord is, and walk in wisdom, not to walk as fools. And so this is part of walking in wisdom. And then sixthly, this charge should be understood in light of being filled by the Spirit. In chapter 5, verse 18, being filled with the Spirit or filled by the Spirit. And I think it would be more accurate to say filled by the Spirit, because when we think of filled with the Spirit, well, first off, that's what the passage says, to be filled not with wine, but with, it says filled with the Spirit. And so in understanding it, the word that's translated filled, actually, instead of meaning quantitatively, it means in terms of influence, to be under the influence or control of the Spirit. And in that sense, even though with is used, the passage, the word actually translated means by, to be driven by. And so therefore, all of those things all six of those things, things that we have addressed already, should be used to guide us into understanding what Paul is intending for us to understand in this passage. Now, one of the reasons I want to frame what follows in what has already been stated is because, in terms of what's already been said, is because autonomy. And autonomy means autonomous, or autonomy means to be a law unto oneself. Autonomy is so much a part of our fallen condition that the very concept of submission is not only repugnant and repulsive to us, but it is oftentimes abrasive to our ears. You see, the whole concept of submission is hard for us to hear, because we come here bent away from law and towards ourselves. We have become a law unto ourselves. And so what's said in the book of Judges, it's very applicable to all of us. And we have to learn submission. We don't have to learn how to be our own boss. We have to learn submission. And so what's said in Judges is true of all of us. And that's what we're growing out of. And that is, there was no king in Israel in those days. And every man did what was right in his own eyes. Okay, and so because of that, we need to frame what is stated here in more than just these bare words, because they don't stand alone. There's a whole body of truth that supports this concept. Furthermore, we need to make these qualifications because our experience in this fallen world is as such that being submissive has often led to exploitation and abuse. Both of those things have to be factored in. On the one hand, we are inclined away from submission because we come here. The very concept of submission is abrasive to us, but also living in a fallen world, almost every one of us can give an example, if not more than one example, of having been submissive to those who were in authority over us, and that submission was abused, or that submission was somehow used as to exploit and manipulate us or those that we are familiar with. And so those who have sought to obey have not always gotten good response. And so therefore, it seems that what is commanded here, which Paul is speaking primarily to wives, and in a moment we'll show that it's not just to wives, but what's commanded here, we understand that we know that what is required here and what is commanded here goes against our nature, and also it kind of goes against our experience. So both of those things have to be factored in. Now, one other thing to note here, and as we mentioned just momentarily, just a moment ago, is that although Paul is specifically addressing wives in this passage, there's really two things suggest that there is a broader application to what he says here. Two things that suggest he's not just speaking to wives. But this, even though we begin there, but I think there are two things that suggest a broader audience or a broader application. First off, in verse 21, it speaks of submitting to one another. In verse 21, he says, submit unto one to another. And basically, he's talking about a world and a culture or society in which there are varying ranks and responsibilities, and sometimes they will fluctuate. So, for instance, you may be a boss on your job, or a supervisor on your job, but your supervisor, you are subject to someone else. Okay, you may be in a position of leadership in your job and not in your church. See, and so each role that you find yourself in, or each relationship that you find yourself in, may put you in a different position. And so the idea is, just because you call the shots on the job doesn't mean you call the shots everywhere. There's differences, and it doesn't mean that because you are submissive in any relationship, it doesn't mean that you are somehow less than. See, that's what where people we lose it. We think, oh, you mean he's better? No, it doesn't mean that anyone is better than you. And we'll show that also when we get to the text. So this concept of submission, Paul introduces it in verse 21 in general. Paul has in mind the concept of submission in general, and what he does beginning with our text is he shows it in different relationships and different contexts. So he goes from the marriage, and then he goes to the family order, and then he goes to the workplace. And so he shows that in different relationships, it may require you to be submissive to a particular position. And it doesn't mean you are any less of a person. And it doesn't mean that the person who has authority in one context has authority everywhere else. So our text is really the first example of Paul's general discussion on submission. But a second thing in our text that tells us that this may have a broader application than just to wives is that in the text, Paul says he likens the submission of a wife to her husband to the church's submission to Christ or to the Lord. So really, in other words, what Paul is saying is what is true for the wife applies also to every believer or every member of the local or of a church. And that is every member of the body of Christ is submissive to Christ. And so therefore the concept, in fact, the marriage relationship is intentionally reflects the relationship between Christ and his church. And so when Paul speaks to the wives, even though he's speaking to the wives particularly, he's also speaking to every member of the church because the church itself is a wife. The church is the wife of Christ. And so therefore, it has broader application than just to those women who are married. Okay. Now, that being the case, what I want to do is we'll look at a few things from the text, and then we will close it out by looking at some points of application and implications from the text itself. So let's examine the passage. The first thing you'll notice, in the first place, let's look at the command itself. And the command, and it certainly is a command, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, two things should be noted here. One, part of submitting to the Lord, if you're a Christian wife, part of submitting to the Lord is submitting to your husband. Now, when he says, as unto the Lord, he's saying, in essence, part of submitting to the Lord is to submit to your own husbands. It's in this sense that our sanctification is played out in the roles and responsibilities that the Lord has put upon us. In the same way that John makes this point, but Jesus does as well. But in 1 John, John makes the point of when we talk about loving God whom we've never seen, he makes it clear that loving God is manifest in loving our neighbors. And not just our neighbors, but especially our brothers and sisters in the faith. Now, understand, you will not be saved by submitting to your husbands. Okay? That's not what saves us. What saves us is faith in Christ. Okay? So let's be clear on that. And you can't say because you are, we know of wives that are non-submissive that they are therefore not Christian. No, but what he's saying is your obedience to Christ, your submission to the authority of Christ manifests itself in your submission to your husband. That's one thing that he means by this. But here's the second thing that's meant by this. Wives are therefore supposed to yield to the authority and the leadership of their husbands in the same way that you yield to the leadership and the headship and the authority of Christ. Okay, it means both of those things. Wives are to submit to their husbands in such a way, in the same way as they yield to the authority and the leadership of Christ. So both of those things. So that's the charge. That's the command. Part of submitting to the Lord is to submit to your husbands. So it's no such thing as being, oh, I love the Lord, I'm submissive to the Lord, but I don't have to listen to him. No, that's not, Paul says, you got that wrong. You know, well, he ain't the Lord. We know that. We know that. And nowhere will it say that you and your husband is Jesus. We know that. Okay, but here's the point that Paul is making. He puts it out there. He tells us in verse 21 that submission is a reality of life in a world that you didn't create. You're always going to be submissive to someone. There's always an authority that's greater than yours. And I know what the serpent told you back in the garden. Okay, I know what he said. And it wasn't true then, and it's not true now. Okay, it got him in trouble, and it got you in trouble. So now we return to the original order of things. Submit. That's the charge. They say, okay, I will, and we'll do it, you know, with our arm twisted. And he says, as unto the Lord. Oh, snap. Now I got to do that. As unto the Lord, yes, because your submission to the Lord is tied to your rightful submission, not just wives to husbands, but hear me on this, brothers and sisters. Our submission to the Lord is reflected in our submission to all who have rightful rule and authority over us. Let's remember that when we talk to and we talk about those whom God has placed in authority. Okay? I mean, I'm not making this up. This is right here. And so submitting to the Lord consists in submitting to those whom he has placed over us, and also our submission to them ought to be in the same manner as we submit unto the Lord. And we'll flesh that out in a moment and under the observations and points of application. But here's the second thing. Paul bases this command on the order that has been established by God. And notice the second thing that he says. He gives us the command and he gives the statement, the simple statement of fact. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And that's when a lot of women get, you know, selective about sola scriptura. Yeah, I believe in the word is the inerrant word of God. And yeah, but, you know, and we start screeching and squirming and have a difficulty with this. But let's show you the order that Paul is referring to. And we'll try to get rid of some of the notions that people have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Same writer, the Apostle Paul, says this, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Now notice what the Apostle has done here. Now, here we are, and women, and you know, God bless you, but many of them, we assume that this means, well, I'm not anybody, nobody's my head. But read the rest of the passage. See, it humbles the man, because it lets him know, you're not your own head either. There's an authority over you. Christ is over you. And I think basically what he's saying is, man, there is no good man. When Adam fell, he threw all of you under the bus with him. And so there's only one true man. The real he man is now Jesus. So you need to define your masculinity and identity and role in him. He's the measure of a man. That's what the woman at the well said. You know, she threw, come see the man. Come see a man. And you know who she went to first? She didn't go to the women. She went to the men. Amen. The woman with the reputation went to the man and said, listen, come see a real man. And brethren, we don't become real men until we find our worth and our identity in Christ. So the man that's connected to the headship of Christ is therefore better prepared to be a head to his wife. But then notice what follows. It says Christ has a head. Amen. Because as our representative, he is subject to the rule of the Father. Now, here's why this is important. We know that there is no inferiority in substance or essence in the person of Christ to God. He's God. But yet, he is willingly subject to the headship of the Father. Christian women, don't think that somebody is making less of you because they say you are under somebody's headship. That's Eve talking. Amen. That's Eve. That's Eve under the influence of the serpent. But if it's not wrong for your Savior, the eternal God, omnipotent, all-powerful, if it's not demeaning for him to be subject to somebody's rule and authority, then it shouldn't be any less, it shouldn't be a problem for you. That's the order of things. Christ, head of men. The man, head of the woman. And God is the head of Christ. Now that's the order that's established here. But there's a third thing. In this command, Paul makes an assumption. He makes an assumption about being under the headship of anyone or of a woman. Here's the assumption. He says this. He says in verse 23, the husband is the head of wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. That's just a little throwaway line. But think about it. There's an assumption there. He is the savior of the body. And here's what Paul is assuming, that submission is a positive thing. That's the assumption that he's making. He's in this command. He is assuming that as you submit to your husband, that it is a positive thing, because being submitted unto Christ, here's what the church has gotten. The savior of our bodies. And the assumption is that by entering into a marriage relationship, that a woman is entering into a positive relationship, and she is going to be strengthened and improved in it and not hurt by it. Fourthly, Paul gives the extent of this submission. He doesn't say submit to your husbands on the male things. Amen. He doesn't say submit to your husbands in most things. He doesn't say submit to your husbands in the things that you would like. He says submit to your own husbands in everything. Amen. That'll clear the house, won't it? In everything. Now, woe to the fool, because I will call him that, who thinks that it's his responsibility to pick out what she's to wear and to make sure she doesn't do anything without his notice. Amen. What woe to the fool that thinks that's the authority that he's been given. But woe to the woman who thinks that her responsibility to submit can draw limits. Because remember what's mirrored here is not the relationship of Ozzie and Harriet. What's mirrored here is the relationship between the ideal husband and his unloving and unlovable wife. That's what's mirrored here. What's mirrored here is a great love affair that can't be fathomed by all of the romantic novels stacked up into one place. You see, there was always a reason for the guy to love her. There was always a reason. And she looked at him, and even if she resisted for a moment, her heart was won. But here's the love affair that's reflected in this command. The love affair that's reflected is not when we were loving, lovable, or adorable, but while we were in the midst of our rebellion, our great Savior and lover came down through the portals of time and entered into time and space and brought us unto Himself, took us in our rebellion, in our unlovable status, washed us up, covered us, died for us, cleansed us with His blood, sealed us with His Spirit, and made great love calls to us all in the process. That's the love that we are modeling. And here's what we understand, that submitting to Him has not hurt us. Submitting to Him has improved us. And Paul assumes that women ought to know what's good for them. Amen. In terms of relationships. And now that leads me to the fifth thing, which are some points of observations. Four of them. Four observations and points of application. Here's the first one. Christian women ought to be prayerful and careful in choosing who you marry, because you are bringing yourself under the subjection of that person's headship. Amen. So pause for a moment. Pump your brakes. Just because the heart goes pitter-patter, just because you like what you see, just because you like the income, here's the question. Let us factor into our thinking. Can I submit to this man's headship? Now, if you can't submit to headship, you've got a problem, and you are submitting to headship. You're just not a good follower, period. Amen. Because all of us are subject to someone. And if you don't think being a wife means to be submissive to the headship of a husband, then you don't need to be married. Because that's what the Bible says. Now, here's what it does mean. It means that Christian women have made some horrible choices. That's one of the reasons we don't marry outside of the faith. We've made terrible choices. Now, you might look around and say, well, I don't have good choices to make. And we will deal with biblical concepts of male responsibility and maleship. And you know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. But just because you don't have good choices doesn't mean you are forced to make a bad one. Amen. Either Christ is our all or He isn't. I remember hearing a speaker say once, and it was very profound. It makes a lot of sense. It needs to be unwrapped at a number of levels. But he says, you will never find contentment in marriage if you have not found contentment in being single. Because if you're looking to get married to stop being lonely, then it's, you know, then that's the wrong reason. There's something else that needs to fill that void, namely who and what you are in Christ Jesus, who fills all in all. So here's the first point of application. Christian women ought to be prayerful and careful in choosing who you marry because you are willingly bringing yourself under the subjection of that person's headship. And if you can't see yourself submitting to him in all things, it might break your heart now to break it off. But trust me, your heart will be crushed later. And so understand that that's what it means to get married. It means to bring yourself, willingly bring yourself into a relationship where you are submissive or submitted to the, or under the, or the subject of another person's headship. Here's the second thing. It is critical that Christian wives see their roles and responsibilities through the lens of Scripture and not their fallen nature or the wisdom of the world. It is critical that Christian wives see their roles and responsibilities through the lens of Scripture and not their fallen nature or the wisdom of the world. Now, here's what I mean by this. You see, the world has made submission a bad word. Okay, but just because the world has made it a bad word doesn't make it so. So it's important for Christian women to see the word submission through the lens of Scripture and not through your own fallen nature, which says nobody is the boss of me. And notice the word boss doesn't even appear. It just says headship and authority. But we start thinking in extreme terms. We start talking about leaders, and right away we go to tyrant. You know, nobody's my tyrant. Well, he's not saying that. But here's what we need to understand. There's dignity in what God has created you to be. So it's important to define your roles and your responsibility to your husband, not by Dr. Phil, not by soap operas, not by what you get in the newsstands. Define your roles, not even by Christian books. Define your role first, your roles and your responsibilities first through the Scriptures, and that will enable you to receive other helpful information that you could receive from other sources. Our problem is we allow a movement, or we allow a political platform, or we allow our own fallen nature to tell us what's good for us. And God's word is the only one that is able to do it. Thirdly, Christian wives are to employ the power of the Spirit at the level of the inner woman in order to bring self and the old woman under submission. Amen. Listen, you say, well, no, I can't submit to him. You're right. In your fallen nature, you can't submit to anybody. But we're not just talking, you're not just a woman. You're not just a garden variety woman. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have been purged by the blood of the Lamb. You have at your disposal every spiritual gift in Him. You have the power of the Spirit to probe into the deepest recesses of your inner person so that you can subdue that which is contrary to the word and will of God. You see, submission is impossible if you look at your own powers. There's no way I'm going to let somebody else. I know more than him. That's what you're thinking. I'm the one who always gets things done. I don't have to submit to him. But brothers and sisters, here's what I would admonish. That if you are a Christian woman and you are married, then understand that the full panoply of spiritual gifts are at your disposal in order to enable you to carry out the simple words of this profound and difficult command. Submit to your own husbands. But there's a fourth thing that we want to consider, and that's this. If submission has been or is a problem. And I think we, all of us who are in roles where we are under the authority of someone else, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your home, whatever, whether it's in your church, whatever it is, if submission is or has been a problem, if you know that it's not in your nature and you've established a whole pattern of living that doesn't make you subject to anyone, here's what I would say to you. Repent. Don't try to fix it. Repent. Don't try to explain it. Repent. And here's what I would tell you. That if you repent, He's there to strengthen you to do what you ought to do, or to do more of what you're supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Now, here's what repent means. We talked about it in our Sunday school class. It means to have a change of mind. And only the power of the Holy Spirit can change your mind. Because here's what needs to be changed. You need to see you differently if you have a problem submitting. You need to see you differently. You think too much of yourself. If you don't think that you have a right to, that somehow this verse applies to everybody but you. Or to qualify it in a thousand and one different ways that so that at the end of it you still get to do what you want to do. No, this is what marriage is. It's two souls being knit into one. It's one body with one head. And if you like your body as it is now, and you think the head that's on it is pretty good, then don't get married. Because when you take on a name, you're under that name. Now let me spread this out. Because this isn't just speaking to women. This is speaking to husbands. This is speaking to single Christians, men and women. Here's what it means to be in Christ. It is to be brought under His head. Under His authority. Here's what the illuminating work of the Spirit does as His Word is opened up. It doesn't open up a whole can of excuses to explain why I haven't. But it brings me under conviction because I haven't. And here's what we find. Is that the grace of God is sufficient even to cover the sin of your insubordination. But you got to know that it's insubordination. And it's insubordination not just to him, that man, but failing to rightly respond to those whom God has placed over you is to rebel against him. And that's what he wants us to see. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. You see, that's the command. Because the knowledge is that your submission is for your good. And what you should see reflected in that relationship is the fullness of what you have received from Christ. This doesn't exempt or excuse anyone. What this does, it gives us all the more reason to submit to the authorities that God has placed. Amen.